We kick off hour number three, Football Thursday edition of the program. Bengals and Browns tonight. Thursday night football. It's only on NFL Network.
A crap fest.
Yeah, it's going to be something. Gonna be something.
I'm gonna stick with Crap Fest.
All right,
but I'll enjoy it because I'm going Burrow.
Yeah, the Bengals are winning outright.
All right, this segment of the program is brought to you by one of our newer sponsors here at Fan Run Radio, EB's Eats and Treats in Halls, 4620 Mill Branch Lane, Knoxville, Tennessee. It's EB's Eats and Treats. Right now, they got the family dinner deal: 4 6-inch sandwiches, 4 sides of your choice, 4 fresh baked cookies. Jeez, now I'm hungry. It's EB's Eats and Treats. They got you covered with sandwiches, barbecue. Check them out if you haven't been out there, especially if you live out in the Halls area. Swing by, pick up EB's Eats and Treats, and let them know you heard about them right here on 3 and Out and Fan Run Radio. It's EB's Eats and Treats, simply fresh, simply good. The Alabama game pricing was crazy. Florida, though, was only $199 right now. So.
If we're undefeated, that might be worth it.
The thing I wanted to get to, though, was that there are seats available all around the stadium now, which was what I was a little worried about, which that makes sense. So I'm happy to report that it seems like Tennessee's using the entire stadium, which makes sense. This whole, we're not using our upper deck is just dumb. So
yeah, gonna
see if anybody else does that.
Gonna be honest, that didn't make a lot of sense.
So, I don't know. Tickets available. If you want to go to the South Carolina game, upper deck, row 8, $162 a piece for a pair.
So I'm looking into the Big Ten testing stuff. Apparently remember I mentioned yesterday that they're getting the daily antigen test?
Yeah.
Apparently that test can, quote, detect a level of virus thought to be below the level of infectivity, meaning that according to this report from the Northwestern Director of Sports Medicine, the Big Ten will be able to detect the virus before the patient is contagious.
That sounds great, but I worry that means they're going to be detecting virus in people
who would have been asymptomatic and maybe
give it to anybody else. And
well, that's 7 days. No, that's still 21.
No, it's 21 days.
I take it back.
And they're going to get all these tests. I mean, if Tennessee tested the entire Massey dorm and got 7%, and Chancellor Plowman kind of asked the question, we don't know. She said, we don't know if that represents the entire – if they were able to magically just snap their fingers and test everybody on campus in one snapshot, would they get 7% as their positivity rate? They don't know how accurate the Massey dorm is – if it's treated like a random sample of the university. But, I mean, if it's 7%, all of a sudden you immediately have passed the 5% threshold.
Yep,
the Big Ten
7-day shutdown.
So, I don't know how you play football ever if that's the case.
Well, I told you, I think that's their plan.
Which is just – what does Christine Brennan do if the plan was to put this out so that they didn't have to play, which she said playing is the darkest – there's a lot of mental pretzel gymnastics
there. That's what's so amazing. The Big Ten now, in their minds, wins either way. Look, we tried. We really tried. We had the best testing. We had the best protocols, and it still wasn't safe enough.
Well, no matter what they do, they're going to say they did it right. I mean, did you see what Kevin Warren said when asked about why communication was so poor?
Maybe not that exact quote. I saw a lot of the other things he said.
He said it's easy to look back and point out what was poor.
We're passionate. I take that as a positive.
I swear that's right out of the JG, some good, some bad playbook. One is a kid that's, in college. One is supposed to be a super smart person that runs an entire college football conference. Mm. So, I give JG a little slack after a game saying that. I don't give Kevin Warren anything. What do you – you're asked a question and you just don't even answer it. I mean, what do we expect from these people? If they won't even answer a direct question, obviously they're liable to be hiding things or, the news out of Nashville. Is it time to get into that?
I mean, you've already gotten into it every segment. Jeez. I thought you said you wanted to do your own podcast. You've talked about it for an hour on this show. You said you wanted to do an hour podcast.
I have not talked about it for an hour.
This is the sixth mention.
It's just a little mention.
Are you teasing a podcast?
Maybe. I don't know. I got to check
my
feedback.
Do it. Just do it.
Just do the podcast. Yeah,
I'm just listening to radio dials turn all over town. Go for it.
Can I still be on the podcast?
What do you mean?
Just hang out. Just hype you up all your ranting.
He'll probably need a producer.
Nah, I don't know. We'll see. I don't know when we're going to. We'll talk.
Okay.
We'll talk.
I live like 4 minutes away from you.
Oh, okay. All right. Maybe we can work something out. In Nashville, they were having so few contact tracing COVID to bars and restaurants that people in emails, now proven back and forth, reported by Fox 17 in Nashville, these emails have the leadership of Nashville saying, hey, these numbers are so low, we can't put these out. Like, it doesn't fit our narrative. Like, don't this is not for public consumption, right? And then confirm, yes, these numbers are not for the public. And then there's more emails where it says, what is, you know, how are we going to share these numbers because they're so low, like it's going to, you know. And that's really the whole story. Like, there's proof now in emails that Nashville's leadership in the government said the numbers of people transmitting COVID-19 at bars and restaurants is so low, we cannot share that with the public. They lied to us. And then Knox County made a decision last night that'll go into effect for a 28-day period to close all restaurants that serve alcohol at any point during the day must close at 11 p.m.
And all bars, right? Or are bars still closed?
Any place that serves alcohol to be consumed on premise has to close at 11 p.m. So that would include bars, restaurants, any brown bag establishments where you bring your own alcohol. If you're allowed to consume the alcohol on the premise, you must close at 11 p.m. moving forward for 28 days. It was proposed at 10 p.m., but Governor Jacobs suggested moving it back to 11. There was some...
Mayor
Jacobs suggested moving it back to 11. At first, like, that had no support. Everybody was still on the 10 o'clock thing. And then the head doctor running the meeting kind of pushed for it a little bit. They ended up voting, and that actually passed to change it from 10 to 11 by like a 6-3 vote. The eventual proposal passed after they amended it because the guy, Dr. O'Brien, that brought it to the table wrote it so poorly. His original proposal said that places that serve alcohol could no longer serve food or drinks after 10 p.m. Mm. And the attorney had to say, excuse me, Dr. O'Brien, what you're saying is these establishments can still stay open. They just can't serve anything. But what you're talking about is them being closed. So which is it? Like, they basically had to rewrite the thing on the spot.
He's a doctor, not an attorney.
Because O'Brien was so bad at the proposal he brought. And he brought it because on Saturday night, he drove around and he saw people partying on the strip close to each other. That was the whole genesis of this whole thing. It's to close down bars on the strip where college kids are partying.
Well, that's where the Knox County case spikes are coming from, is campus.
Right. But based off this Nashville data that was completely hidden from the public on purpose, that's not necessarily where the transmission is occurring.
Not necessarily. I agree with that.
The problem with this group is they have no statistician to help them understand the data. In fact, Dr. Buchanan did not know which was the X and Y axis last night at one point in the opening as she went through her slides.
She had a 50-50 shot.
Like, if that doesn't raise some red flags, I don't know what does. And then when you look at the data, the numbers are going up in the 0 to 20 age range. Well, then they split that down more. 0 to 10, which that's through 5th grade. So basically, our babies to elementary school kids have stayed flat. So those kids have gone back to school. No transmissions have spiked at all. In fact, it's the same level it was beforehand. So they've decided that it's definitely ages 11 to 20. They tried to parse some data together more for that and show that it's basically college students. But no one ever asked the question, how do we know it's the bars and restaurants? Dr. Birx came into town recently.
Well, that's the one thing they can control, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Birx came into town, and said in some places they've had success with wearing masks and closing down bars. We have no idea if that's actually the reason. There's no data on that. In fact, the contact tracing says the opposite, as pointed out by Nashville, Tennessee. Dr. Birch has talked about Nashville being a problem a few weeks ago. She came to Knoxville on a regular tour where she's going around 28 states. But because it was her recommendation, they just took it without even asking questions about any of the other data. No one once said, hey, do you think this is just a common response situation where all the kids have gotten back on campus, they're now mingling with each other more and more. We're testing, and here's the big key for me. We just tested an entire dorm for no reason. We just wanted to see if a community bathroom dorm had a bunch of COVID in it. And maybe they said they are wastewater testing every dorm on campus, so maybe it had a higher level in the wastewater, although that wasn't clear by Chancellor Plowman. We just tested an entire dorm and got 7% positivity. Oh, and our numbers are going up with the college-age kids. Well, maybe it's because you just tested a bunch of them. Like, maybe it has nothing to do with them being out at a bar, because if they can't be drinking at a bar, they're going to be drinking in the fort. They're going to be drinking in somebody's apartment. They're going to be drinking in the home, which anybody that's actually studied data knows that the home is where transmission happens more. Which is why,
where the heart is.
Which is why the football team's having issues with roommates having to quarantine. Like, that's why that's in place. It was a lot, and there's a lot more to get into, and that's why I was just asking the question on Twitter. I don't want to go through. I would be a healthier and happier person if I hadn't watched that last night, if I hadn't seen. I mean, excuse me for not really trusting the decision-making of people that don't even understand how the mute button works on Zoom. Like, I just, I cannot, the amount of incompetency exhibited by the members of that board was shocking. Mayor Kincannon was invited by as a guest. She's not on the board. But then Maria Hunt, one of the women on the board who obviously is in cahoots with Mayor Kincannon, kept asking her a question during every talking point so that Mayor Kincannon could essentially put out her opinion on every single topic, to the point where Mayor Glenn Jacobs said, asked the attorney, hey, she's not on the board. Does she have the right in our board meeting as a guest to speak on every single talking point? And he said, well, it's your board. You guys have set the rules. She was invited as a guest. That's not really a legal question. But, like, that's how contentious it got last night, or yesterday at 5 o'clock. I watched it last night on this, the health department thing. And
did you DVR that?
I'll close with this. The final thing that I really learned, well, two things. I learned that they want to close bars, but not because they feel like people congregate more there. It's because they feel like when people drink, they make bad decisions and they don't follow their five core principles of social distancing and mask wearing and washing hands and yada, yada, yada. Another thing I learned is that Knox County Schools is green in every area except substitute teacher availability. Knox County Schools is crushing it. Their numbers are low. I also learned that Maria Hunt thought when they started this board task force thing and only had like six cases each day in Knox County that they were going to be able to make the numbers go down. And she's basically said, we're failing because the numbers are still going up. It's like, really? They also think that masks are working. They say that all the time. Chancellor Plowman said Dr. Birx was blown away because all of our kids are wearing masks. But if the numbers are skyrocketing now and everybody's wearing masks, are the masks working? No one asked that question. No one, it's like just. And finally, the reason that they can say 30 days in jail and a $50 fine for breaking the mask mandate or any of these other, any regulation they put out has nothing to do with them setting that penalty for that regulation. The TCA, Tennessee Code Annotated, says if you break any health department regulation, it's a Class C misdemeanor, which is a 30-day fine, 30 days in jail or $50 fine. So they haven't actually set that. That's just the rule if you break any of those things. And, of course, the sheriff last time said he was not going to apply that at all. They did have the police chief on last night who said they would help enforce this whole bars have to close at 11 thing because that's easier for them. They got in trouble last time because they couldn't define what a bar was. She had literally talked about that. Like, you guys passed a regulation that we can't enforce because we cannot define this establishment's a bar and this establishment's not. I mean, they brought a proposal.
Prohibition.
It really reminds me of
It'll
prohibition.
It'll fix the problem.
It really does. Like, do we? I mean, it's they're terrible at the math. I'm sure they're brilliant in their fields. The UT Medical Center guy is all about more testing, more testing, more testing. Well, doesn't that make sense? He gets more money for every positive case. So they don't understand the statistics at all. They just, I mean, basically those presentations, they just read through the numbers. They struggled with Robert's Rules of Order. Like, they don't know. They have to go to the attorney every time. They had to rewrite on the spot the entire proposal. Then they had to change the timing on it. And this is all because Dr. O'Brien saw some kids partying at a bar on Saturday night. I was just like, I may have brain worms or something.
It's possible. We don't get vaccinated for those.
Not to mention, they talked about the mask mandate and said that they want to establish some benchmarks that have to be hit before they would ever lift that. And a vaccine was brought up as one of those types of things. So, yeah.
Well, CDC says quarter three of next year.
So get used to that mask if
it's what, a year from
if
now?
You're going to comply with the complete overreach of our local government here in Knox County. If you want to continue the conversation, you can tweet me at Nate Hodges. I mean, I think I will talk more about it if people want to hear it.
We'll you get do back. A public Zoom call? Is that a thing?
Public Zoom call.
I don't know. You could Periscope it.
Well, yeah.
You'd have to upgrade because if you have, I think, more than three people in a Zoom call after 40 minutes, it just cuts off.
That's on my list to check some Zoom pricing. I'm going to do that right now during the break. We'll come back. We'll get back to sports on the flip side. But hit me up at Nate Hodges. If I mean, there are people. Greg Isaac's law firm sent a letter to the health department right before
the
meeting.
He's about to lose his mind.
Saying that if they pass that, and he had a list, I assume, I haven't seen the letter, but I assume it had a list of restaurants and bars. Because this, see, it's one thing to just affect bars. But you start affecting the restaurants, I mean, I don't have to tell people that kind of know, but restaurant owners in this town, the local ones, own a lot of restaurants. And at least one of them that's bought up the old city and plans to move to Smokies, like, owns a ton. And then there's, what, two other groups that own, I mean, you start affecting those guys, one of which is the, you know, what, the president of the University of Tennessee.
Well, they're closing it at 11? Everything closes?
Everything closes at 11.
They couldn't just stay open and serve no more alcohol?
Right.
All right.
They wouldn't be able to enforce that. That's the problem. The cops don't have to roll in and say, oh, you're serving alcohol, you're not. And they go, no, we're not. That's a Coke. Or, you know what I mean? It would be too messy to enforce was the reasoning behind that.
Okay.
So, but imagine, I mean, 28 days. I mean, that's the Missouri game. Day happens, and bars on the strip, like, or really every restaurant has to close at 11. Friday night, Saturday night, you know.
It starts in 28 days?
No, it runs for 28 days. No. I don't know when it starts. It starts, like, tomorrow or something. Yeah, it's a mess.
That Missouri would be just week two. It'd be day 14.
Yeah.
Kentucky, yeah. Three. At Georgia 4.
Wait, so that doesn't even make any sense. He was like, by the second home game, this could be over with. That's not right, is it?
No. Second home game's in, what's
well, we've got 11 days
from,
the first
2 weeks from
day,
tomorrow.
So is it, do we?
Till the first day of what?
Of the first game of the season.
No, right, but so it's a week from Friday, so that's what?
So
eight days?
I said
8 days?
10, yeah.
8 days?
It was 10 yesterday. So that's 1 week. Then Missouri is.
The next week?
2 weeks.
And Kentucky.
It's 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. We're within the 28-day period. So so Dr. O'Brien doesn't even know what the hell he's talking about.
Calendars are hard, man.
These guys can't count to 28, and we don't know the X and Y axis, and we expect them to be able to understand statistics enough to make policy decisions.
Oh, do you guys want me to talk about how the Gregorian calendar came about again?
You can tell us during the break. We'll take a quick one and come back on the flip side. Stick with us right here on Fan Run Radio. Welcome back into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. Pick you up some White Claw as you watch football this weekend. 5% alcohol by volume, refreshing. Just a hint of fruit flavor. It's White Claw Hard Seltzer. pick you up some today. Let's go to the phone lines, 865-546-8200. Last call for phone calls here. We've got Roberto up right now. What's up, Berto? You're on three and out.
Top of the morning, gentlemen.
To you as well.
Dreary outside, but still beats the crap out of Gainesville, Florida, or Tuscaloosa, Alabama, every day. Guys, actually, Nate, I called in because I wanted to just touch on your rant about schools and this whole closing bars and everything. Y'all, this is being voted on by people that can't be voted out of office.
Mm-hmm. Right.
With the exception of Glenn Jacobs, who has voted no every time because he's actually a conservative, but middle-of-the-road conservative, a true libertarian. And then I guess Bob Thomas could be voted out, but he can't be voted out for four more years.
He wasn't at the meeting last night. He didn't even vote.
Really? Okay, so I didn't notice that. So, but nonetheless, I would assume he would have probably voted yes,
he would have voted
well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, nonetheless, none of that really matters other than these are government bureaucrats making decisions for you, a constituent, that they have no ramifications for their actions at all. It's bullcrap,
right.
And it's not fair, and it should be illegal, okay? If you want to read up on what's actually happening there, I don't usually stealth for things, but Our Fight for America by Michael Savage is, I highly recommend it if you want to read up on what most people actually think who have a brain think what's going on. Okay? Secondly, as far as football is concerned, do you see the University of Tennessee easing up and letting, after last night with this bars thing, I doubt it's going to happen. Again, bureaucratic stuff. But do you see the University of Tennessee easing up the regulations to let the football team actually practice? Or are they just going to keep doing this thing and let us basically go 0-10 this year? That's really all I had. Guys, I hope you have a great day. Thanks for your time.
Well, Roberto, we found out earlier, Trey Wallace informed Bear, who informed me, that that's SEC standard operating procedure across the board. So the question is, are other teams lying? Are we unlucky? Are we doing something wrong? I don't know. Are we just being more forthcoming with the numbers and the data than other schools? I really don't know. I mean, Missouri announced today they're going to have at least 12 players out for Alabama, maybe more. So, I mean, I don't know if the – will we get a number of that today or tomorrow from Jeremy Pruitt, maybe Monday at the press conference? Like, we have at least four players out, eight players out, 20 players out. I don't know. But as apparently the contact tracing timelines are the same across the board for the SEC. It's kind of like what you saw the Big Ten do yesterday with 21 days quarantine and or at least no football if you test positive, 7-day shutdown if your rolling average for your team over a 6-day period or 7-day period is over 5%. I think most of this stuff is across the board for the SEC. The question is, you know, are other teams telling the truth? Are they hiding positives? Are they doing a better job at isolating those who have had the virus versus who have not had the virus? Are they giving everybody their own apartment somewhere downtown? I have no idea. That's the real question for me.
I mean, it's one of those things we used to joke with Butch Jones because they would always be like three guys that were either limited or hurt on game day that we had no idea were injured.
Yep.
I mean, we might not know it for Arkansas State or Navy or even BYU or some of these teams, but we're going to know it with Tennessee. Like when they come out of the tunnel, not running through the tee, and get set to play the game and go out there on defense.
At least we think.
We'll be able to go, wait, where's this guy? Is he even on the sideline? Oh, no, he's – like, even if – so, I mean, the depth chart is going to come out on Monday, right? I mean, it's right around the corner. I don't know how the coaching staff will approach that. I think I would release a depth chart as if everybody could play.
I would, too.
I would say if we were going to play a game today and there were no – and everybody was healthy from a COVID standpoint, here's the way the depth chart would look. Now, maybe if a guy –
I'm assuming coaches won't have to release names –
right.
until game day.
A guy,
and maybe just not even
they
release
probably
him.
Never will, right?
It's just, was that guy on the sideline? Was he not on the sideline?
We'll,
did he make
we'll
the
know,
trip? Yeah,
you know, like we'll,
yeah, there'll be leaks and releases here.
And with some positions where it's close, we'll have to guess. You know, but I guess if they're not on the sideline, then we'll know for sure.
Right.
If they're on the sideline not getting to play, and then obviously they're not, you know, it's not a COVID issue right then. Unless you get in some weird situation where the kid's technically gotten over it, but he hasn't been able to practice enough and they don't feel good about his physical condition. They're afraid he'll get hurt or something.
Mm.
So, like, hey, this kid cleared quarantine the day before travel, but we're not going to play him as normal reps because he hasn't been able to practice for 2 weeks. That could be a thing, right? It's like, hey, we got the starter, but he's only going to play on this package or something. Because he's not in shape. Like, he's still worked out, though, right?
It's 10 days if you test positive, and then you have, like, a four-day acclimation period. So I would guess if you're beyond the acclimation period of the 14 days, then
so
yes.
So maybe we won't run into that situation very very often, if at all.
Right.
You either will be on the sideline ready to, like, play your normal reps based on how good you are as a player, stacking up against your teammates at that position, or you just won't make the trip. But, I mean, that'll be kind of the scoreboard moment for the football team. Be like, holy moly, half the defense this guy's never heard of. Like, we got a bad problem here. Or it'll be, huh, this is about what I expected. Oh, we're missing that one guy. He must have, you know, he must have been popped,
right,
or he's
right.
still sitting out for that or whatever. Like, so we'll know on game day. I mean, we know the Tennessee roster. We might not know with other teams. But whether we get all that information or not, I mean, Pruitt won't say names. I mean, he can't. That's like the whole HIPAA thing. But he
right.
might be able to
right.
say, yeah, we're going to be missing four guys on offense and three on defense.
Right, and then everybody will just go through the list of, okay, well.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, that's just – and when do you get that? You get that first thing Saturday morning, so the other team can't prep? Do you get it like,
yeah,
oh, by the way, we're set for kickoff. Just got a note. Tennessee is without 8 potential starters today or 10 guys in the 2-deep. I mean, at this point, though, it feels like if you're without 10 guys because they tested positive, I mean, how many more would have to contact trace and quarantine? I mean, that whole – the contact trace quarantine being 14 days has me a little suspicious about the start of the season.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what Lane Kiffin said a couple weeks ago. We
mm-hmm.
couldn't have played. I don't know how you do this with normal coaching where you're trying to, like, you know, peak for certain points in the season, especially in basketball more so than football. But it's almost like you have to try and manage your COVID cases like that. Like, hey, we got to make sure that I would assume you would almost ramp up how much you bubble these guys in as you approach the season.
I would hope so. Like I would hope the start of this last week by, like, last Thursday, Friday, mm-hmm. you were, all right, boys.
Basically a
local lockdown.
Bubble.
Yeah, lockdown. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think at this point that's the only way you could ensure that you have as many healthy bodies available for each and every game. But again, there's still a lot of unknowns. These are college kids. So you got to just, I guess, hope.
Yeah, well, somebody, I think about one of the national Fox shows, was basically saying, like, there's no way the football players in college can stay away from the girls. That's the problem. Like, even if they stay in their
bubble
dwelling,
mm-hmm.
they're going to have girls over. And then,
I mean, that was a problem in the bubble.
Well, he pointed that out. He's like,
even in the bubble,
yeah.
it was a problem.
So
we could just put Will there as a repellent.
Just
to attract all the biddies.
Okay, you submit a list. You get 3 names. Those girls get tested. They pass, they can visit.
That's what the NBA bubble's doing.
I know, that's why I'm saying it.
Like,
it's a little different
Tyler,
when it's,
Tyler
you know,
Hero just invited an Instagram model down to the bubble for the week.
You pass that COVID test,
so she gets tested and quarantines for, what, 3 days, and then she can
however long the families and babies did.
Yeah.
But no, I would be like fly tape. Because I would attract all of them. They would all be sticking to me instead of going to the people we need to protect.
No, well, he said you'd be more like a citronella candle. You just put off a vibe that keeps them away so that the guys stay safe.
I'm dealing with 4 mosquito bites right now.
You just stand out front of the athletic dorm, kind of like the British soldier does in front of, like, the palace.
Yeah.
No smiling, no. Well, you could be the opposite. You just tell jokes. really bad jokes.
Just pretend it's open mic on this porch.
Exactly. And as girls walk up, because they've, you know, gotten a text, hey, come hang out at the athletic dorm. They walk up, they hear your jokes, see your shtick, and they're like, yeah, I'm going somewhere else.
I don't like the term shtick.
The cooler.
You don't like shtick?
No.
What's wrong with shtick?
It seems insensitive to skinny people.
It's shtick. It's not stick.
It sounds too similar.
So because it
get
sounds
rid of the term,
similar?
Nate. No, I don't. I don't.
You're canceling
don't,
the word.
Do not
shtick.
Say it to me again. And I'll walk out. It actually really upsets me.
Shtick. You're not crying, are you?
No, I'm fine.
Sniffling over there. He's got a case of the sniffles.
COVID.
Shtick. He already had it. It might have been long enough ago, though. You could have it again.
He never showed symptoms, so we don't know if he had a false positive or not.
He didn't have symptoms?
I was sick.
We really don't even know if he tested positive for COVID. He says he tested positive for the antibodies.
Right.
I so at work.
I haven't seen his certificate either. Are we going to have to really Gestapo this thing?
Like, I honestly don't know if I have the paperwork.
Oh, no.
But at work, there was an outbreak at the job I had at the time. I no longer work there. But at that time, there was an outbreak. I went to go get tested, and I was like, you know what? Might as well get the antibodies test, too, just to, like, you know, just for good measure. Came back, test was negative on just the regular test, and then antibodies test was positive.
That's how it works. He'd had it.
There you go.
Beat it. Congrats to you.
I'm so strong.
You shouldn't have to wear a mask. You should be able to walk around with like a sign that says...
I enjoy wearing a mask.
I just keep the paper in my back pocket.
Do you?
No, but it's on my phone.
Yeah?
And so I just like put it up there and like read it and weep, and then I just go about my business as I normally would. No one ever says anything.
You have, like, a medical card?
Well, I have the sheet that said I tested positive for COVID.
Oh, I got you. I thought it was, like, one of those, like, I don't have to wear a mask cards.
Oh, no.
Well, he doesn't.
Yeah, but you know the card I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I don't, actually, but I'll trust you. I'll trust your judgment.
I'll show you a video during
That'd
break.
Be good, yeah.
We'll come back. Final segment of the program. Stick with us right here. I don't know where we'll take it. You'll just have to come back and find out next on
No One Knows.
Final segment of the program. Need to remind you that MyBookie is the official sportsbook of Fan Run Radio. And tonight we got Thursday Night Football. Browns and Bengals. I mean, what better way to make the game interesting than to get a little action on it with MyBookie. Use promo code Knoxville and you can get some deposit bonuses if you would like, or if you want to just play straight up, make sure you can pull your money out at any time, not to deal with rollovers. Just use promo code Knoxville and tell me you heard them on station WKGN or Fox Sports Knoxville, Fan Run Radio, all that stuff will work. That helps us get credit and show them the value of sponsoring us. It's MyBookie, the official sports book of Fan Run Radio. Happy to have them back on board for now that sports are back, which was nice.
We like sports.
Sports are fun, sir. Good. Ever. All right.
Crushed it.
Will says hammer the Bengals tonight. They're
for sure.
Is that true, Will?
They're plus
six. I mean, that is what I said. It might not be true of what the outcome is, but if I had money to put on the game, I would put it on the Bengals. I think minus six. I mean, I don't think the Browns should be favored in the first place, but I get it. It's the Bengals minus six. The Bengals will win that game, and if they don't, it will be a field goal game.
All right. So you like the Bengals money line at plus 220.
Sure. If that's
I actually tend to agree with him. I don't think Cleveland's any good. I think the Bengals are decent, but that line has me a little shook.
Myles Garrett's going to have a good night. He definitely is going to get at least two sacks, I think, but I don't see anybody else on that Cleveland defense stepping up, and I honestly don't see Baker Mayfield throwing the ball accurately this tonight. I almost said this weekend.
I wouldn't touch this. Just the spread of the game at six myself. Actually, if I had to pick, I would pick the Browns to win by 7 to 13 points. I think the Chargers are somehow still overrated, and I think the fact that they were in a game with the Bengals says more about them than the Bengals being any better. And the Browns played the Ravens, who just were an absolute buzzsaw through the league last year. So I'm not discrediting the Browns quite as much as maybe some other people. It'll probably be a pretty sloppy game. Who knows what could happen? That's why I'm not betting the line. If you want to get creative with the over-under, there's also 29 prop bets for the game. So you can just kind of pick some fun stuff to do.
Okay.
I don't know what the actual line is, but over-under 3 interceptions in this game.
Total?
Yeah.
I'm going to go under.
Might be a prop.
Or a push. Probably go push.
That just seems like the most accurate, I think.
All right.
Who's up first, Davey?
The order for today is myself, Will, then Houston. Nate, unfortunately, will not be picking for the rest of this round.
I look forward to you guys getting eliminated so we can go eat lunch.
I am...
Sticky Will over here is giving me
if we all three, it just rolls over if we all lose? Or do we just restart and no one gets lunch? I feel like no one deserves lunch at that point. You just restart.
We can go, but everyone just has to pay for their own.
You have to win out?
So like a normal day?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's not a normal day. I get to go to lunch with you guys. Mm. I never get invited.
Yeah. That's a good point by you. If I am looking at the lineups for week two, I know I have some bias here, but whenever I look at the Titans playing the Jaguars, Titans are coming back home. I know they're on a short week, but the Jags, they did sneak up and beat the Colts. But whenever you see that Jacksonville run defense, which the Titans are known for being able to run, and whenever Derrick Henry has faced the Jaguars as of late, he has been a force to reckon with.
You're going to do it, aren't you?
I'm going to take the Titans.
Hey, I took him and I survived.
Give me Tennessee.
Yeah, it's Davey, and you know he is the cooler.
They have never made me lose NFL Eliminator.
Okay. How many times have you picked them?
This multiple? Is the first time.
No, multiple.
Okay. Just checking.
I mean, if you look at lines, though, the Titans have the biggest line
in the NFL only reason I'm worried about the Titans is because you just picked them.
I take that back. The Panthers and the Bucks are at minus, or the spread's at 9 there. So, but Titans at 8.5 right now. It did start out at like 11.
All right, who's got the next pick?
It would be Will.
I have a question before I make my
pick. Okay.
All right.
Am I allowed to use the same team twice?
No.
Making sure.
So you cannot take Buffalo, and Houston can, well, he can't take Tennessee because he already picked him, plus I took him anyway. So.
Then I will go with the Chiefs.
Smart.
I know it's a chalky pick, but they're playing the Chargers.
You guys are wasting this Chiefs pick way too early. Mm-hmm. Give me the Buccaneers.
Didn't you already have your Chiefs pick?
No.
I took Davey the Chiefs.
Did. Davey. Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah.
So both of you have now taken the best team in the league in hopes of beating me. I have taken the Titans in a close one.
I have Bucks another question.
And now the Bucks.
After
they're 9-point favorites.
After it resets, we're allowed to choose any team we want.
It completely resets.
So then I'm not wasting my Chiefs pick. I still have a lot of football left to be played.
The only other team I really debated taking would have been the Steelers. They are hosting the Broncos.
Mm-hmm. And good defense.
Good defense. Phillip Lindsay does not look like he's able to play. I know they got Melvin Gordon in Denver, but they just have a couple of...
I didn't think Gordon looked bad.
They got a couple of other guys who are not going to be playing. I don't know if Cortland Sutton's going to be back. And Denver, I mean, they kept it a lot closer than it should have been. So, and I think going on the road, and that's a good little trip from Denver to Pittsburgh.
Nobody won the 49ers against the Jets.
Got to save it.
Okay. I mean, they lost the Cardinals.
I wanted to get the Titans out of the way. The Titans do have a tough stretch coming up. I mean, after this week, they play at Minnesota. Then they host Pittsburgh, and then they might be hosting the Bills. I know it's that order's correct. I just the home and away might have been swapped there at the end, but that's a tough little stretch.
Tennessee Vols are plus 6,500 to win the national championship now on my bookie.
If you want to do that, you could just give your money to me instead, and I'll punch you in the face, and we'll go from there.
Still no official opening line. They said it's 3.5. Where?
They do those the week.
That was ESPN.
They do those
ESPN
the week
has
the
it 3.5?
Yeah, college is the week of the game, NFL 2 weeks.
But, I mean, I could get that 3.5 right now, correct?
Somewhere, I guess.
I feel like that's a good line. I know, Houston, you got on to me, but I said the last four games that have been played at South Carolina, the margin of victory has been 3 points every time. Well, do they not usually take into account previous matchups whenever
I'm
they're
just
doing
saying
the spread?
It, yeah, of course. I'm just saying it doesn't necessarily matter. Like, you buck a trend eventually. Like, you lost to South Carolina in 2017 in Neyland. You beat them by 20 last year. Like, things change. That's all I'm saying.
I was mentioning why the spread's at 3.5.
So it's 3.5 because these two teams are fairly even. I mean, what they're saying is that Tennessee's probably a touchdown better than South Carolina, but they do have to travel to South Carolina. Typically, college football is 3 points. If there were fans, maybe it'd be a little bit lower, 2.5, 1.5. It opened as a pick 'em. The money's come in on Tennessee. So, I wouldn't touch the game until, Friday at midnight,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, for real.
Saturday, 2 minutes before the game starts?
There's a lot to take place between now and when Tennessee and South Carolina take off. But
the line wasn't. But you're saying the line being at 3.5 makes sense. The line was not set at 3.5. The line was set as a pick 'em, and now it is adjusted because the public thinks Tennessee is the better team.
Are you sure ESPN set it as a pick 'em?
Everywhere I saw said pick 'em. Maybe Tennessee minus one, but this was not a set line. This is what every other line dictated based on the early money.
That's the first line I saw for it.
We talked about this months ago when it was
but
released.
That wasn't off ESPN.
But they use those lines in the betting trends to use to pick their line. It's about money. It's not necessarily about what they think will happen. It's how do we get the most action on this game.
Well, I think setting it at 3.5 to start would have been a smart idea as well. You're going to have...
Well, yeah, you could say that now because the data has shown you that that's the even betting line.
The data over the last 5 years has shown me that.
Tell me how on earth a game that happened 5 years ago has any impact on the, with different coaches, has any impact on this game?
When was the last time Tennessee was favored against Florida? So how does, like, I mean, typically, like,
but
even
I'm,
when
I'm
we're
saying,
better,
what
they're
I'm saying
still
is
favored.
A snapshot of a team is the answer. It's not like, oh, well, the last three, like, I just don't think that necessarily matters. Or far less than the actual talent on the field and the coaching and the plays that's being played.
So you're saying that they don't take past
You're
trends
saying
into
that no
account.
Team that's ever been an underdog to a team the year before could be favored the next year?
I've not said that at all.
But you understand the logic you're trying to create. And what I'm saying is it's a snapshot of these two teams versus each other in this environment right now. Yeah. Where can we get the most money? Here's the line.
But I'm also saying they take into account past games.
Then why aren't we favored by 20?
Because I'm not taking a one-year snapshot. I'm taking a five-year snapshot.
Even though it's the most recent applicable data. Just checking. I mean, that would still skew your average of the final score over the last 3, 4, 5 years. 20-point victory, it's huge.
No, because the last four matchups at South Carolina have all been decided by
So you're
points.
Going 8 years back for this
then
data.
Technically, yeah. Then technically, I'm going with the last four games happening at...
If that works for you. Do your thing.
Williams-Brice, yeah.
Have you made your pick yet?
Yeah, he did. But I don't know what they're arguing about anymore.
Buccaneers.
Like, I can't.
Buccaneers.
Davey said
terrible
he
pick.
They're the biggest favorite in the league this week.
Yeah, I know, but the Panthers are criminally underrated.
We'll see. We'll see. See which way the line moves. I got faith in Tampa at home. Not really, but they were a big favorite. So if they win by two, what were the Titans favored by against Denver, Davey? 3.5? Didn't it get up to 3?
It started at minus 3 for Denver and moved all the
way. It moved 6 points.
It got to 3.5.
It did get to 3.5. I think when we picked the game, it was at 3, which is why you – sorry.
Yeah.
You lost. But we won.
We did.
You lost, we won.
We did, yeah.
It's a tough world.
It's going to happen. It's all right. Just
lines are funny. Betting's weird.
Wish they'd have made some field goals. But, you know.
No, I mean, you made the right bet. You just...
I feel like I did.
What is it? 1 in 1,000 something?
Yeah.
1,800?
0.01% or something.
It's all
chances of missing all those.
I can't wait for lunch.
Really, if he just made the extra point,
yeah,
I probably would have been good because the game would have played out differently. But in a tie game, at least I'm probably pushing, right? I mean, if it went the exact same way, it's a push.
Yeah.
If Denver tries to do different things...
Of course, without the lead, Denver might try to score a little. You know, it could get
right.
Could
yeah,
get
that's what I mean. But in a tie game, the Titans are either just going to lose outright or win by three or more.
No, yeah, you crushed it.
Yeah, but I did.
You lost, but you crushed
right.
it.
Yeah, yeah. This is what
good bets don't always cash. Remember that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
It's wise. That sounded good.
The blitz is actually the blitz is off today.